You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a WPR reporter about the UW Board of Regents voting no on a funding compromise with Wisconsin State Legislature. But hang on, another vote may be on the way in just a little while. First, it's the year-end member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and Strange Amstrom, to the best of our knowledge, is with me in the studio. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great conversations you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2023 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Rob. We are looking for, drumroll, 10 people to join in with a gift this hour. Why 10? Well, you know, I do not actually know, but those goals are 10 is a nice number, but what I can tell you is that those goals are set up by people who know a lot more than I do in order to make sure that these pledge drives just tick along and every day we meet the right chunk of the bill that will keep this service going on into the next year healthy with news and talk and music you can rely on.
Let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and you know what? One other note before I get off the subject of money, though that is what we're here for. You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because the service is commercial free. We say that a lot. And so what does it mean? Because we do depend on other sources of funding. Listeners are not the only source of funding. We do get money from the state. We get money from the federal government. We have business sponsors. But you know what the biggest by far source of funding is, Rob, you can say.
Well, it's you. The largest piece of the funding for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It really is the foundation of how things work here. Not just you individually. We don't want you to, you know, have to pay for it all
yourself.
No, it's
all on you.
But that's the amazing thing. With thousands, actually tens of thousands of people who give, you start putting that together and that together, and all of a sudden, yes, it really is the single biggest piece of funding. That means that your gift really does make a difference for what you hear on the radio. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know what? Here's why that matters. Because it means that the only people this service is truly dependent on, truly answers to, are its members and the public. Not the state, not the federal government, not the business sponsors. That's what it means to be public radio. It is a deep part of this democracy. So when you are contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio, you are contributing to a service that was created by and for you, citizens of Wisconsin. Also, here's another note. Mm-hmm. You can choose to provide hunger relief in your area during this pledge drive. You can ask for a food bank thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more today. So thank you for making a difference to your neighbors and to the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you love. And you can take care of all of it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You want to get ahead on your New Year's resolutions a couple weeks ahead? Here's one you can take care of in just a few minutes and one you'll be glad to keep. You want to support your source for information and entertainment and inspiration.
So do it right now. Make your year-end gift to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend a few bucks a month on a TV streaming or movie subscription service. Think about paying for your WPR usage that same way. You tune in probably every day for information and entertainment.
So you might think about making your first-time contribution in roughly the same kind of amount, maybe a gift of $10, $20 a month. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we've got that goal of 10 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given, maybe even given just now. If not, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give.
A lot of folks are really enjoying that food bank gift. It's when you give $10 a month, you provide meals for those in need in your area. You can take care of both donations in one shot at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
Sandy and Ed in Bailey's Harbor say we thank each and every one who makes WPR possible, from hosts to staff to members. Thank you, and thank you for being members. Sandy and Ed, how about you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. On Saturday, the Universities of Wisconsin, they call it now, Board of Regents, voted on a proposed compromise with the state legislature to receive funding for cost of living pay raises and campus building projects. In exchange, under that deal, the universities would be expected to cut and restructure diversity, equity, and inclusion positions, among other measures. The board voted 9-8 on Saturday to reject that deal. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says this is the best offer they're going to get. Here's Speaker Voss on the Jay Weber Show on WISN.
You know, I hope that they will reconsider. I mean, this deal was negotiated in good faith. We're not changing one thing in this deal. We are not going backwards. If anything, I'd prefer to go forwards. But, you know, a deal is a deal. You got to keep your word. So it's going to last for a little while, but this is not forever. If they want to walk away, they can walk away.
The story isn't over. The Board of Regents is scheduled to meet and hold another vote this evening. We should note that WPR is a service of UW-Madison. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the Board of Regents' decision to reject the funding offer? If you're a university employee yourself, what do you think of your raise being held up in these negotiations? What do you think of the demands to change, scale back diversity programs in the university system? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. WPR reporter Rich Kramer is following this story. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be back.
Well, there are twists and turns, Rich. Thanks for taking some time to stop following those for a minute to tell us about it. At the core of this, though, talk about this deal and what led to it before that vote on Saturday.
Sure. So this in a way, goes back to June, the Republican State Convention. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told the crowd there that DEI is divisive. It's indoctrination of college students. It's really a tool. He called it the religion of the left because they don't go to church. He had a lot of things to say about DEI as a concept. And he also told the crowd that, you know, if Wisconsin stands its ground, it's going to be like this watershed moment that'll ripple across the country. So follow that up with, you know, the employee pay raises for UW employees was included in the state budget. That was approved with Republican support and Democratic support. And then in September, Speaker Voss started saying that he was going to try to block those pay raises. Speaker Voss co-chairs the Joint Committee on Employee Relations, which gives the final nod to compensation plans. And in October, that board, the committee, took up the raises for other employees, but denied did not take action on the UW raises. So that's kind of where we are. The raises were supposed to go into effect July 1, and they've been held up for months now. So that's the raise portion of this. Also, there's the UW-Madison Engineering Building that has received a lot of support from the business community, and that was also blocked by Republicans earlier this year.
Now, we had Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman negotiate this deal that was voted on Saturday with Speaker Voss, I think the key player there, and others. What were the outlines of that deal? What kind of changes would have to be made to get that money already budgeted to be released?
It's a big, long document, hard to understand. But at its core, as you mentioned earlier, it would essentially freeze DEI staff positions through 2026 across the UW system. It would restructure and reimagine, is the terms in the document, at least 43 current DEI positions. They would then focus on academic and student success instead. And UW-Madison is ending something called the Target of Opportunity Program, which recruits and hires diverse faculty members, and they're going to transition to something else that essentially recruits and hires faculty regardless of identity, racial, and ethnic backgrounds. Also, one of the surprises for me in this deal was the UW would be required to support Republican legislation that would mandate that UW-Madison automatically admit top academic performers graduating from Wisconsin high schools, and all other campuses would be required to admit the top 10%. And then, of course, UW-Madison is going to be, under the deal, seeking donations to create a new leadership position focused on things including, quote, conservative political thought, classical economic theory, or classical liberalism, depending on the donor's interest. On the other side, Republicans are agreeing to release $800 million in funding that would go towards the cost of living raises for the 34,000 or so UW employees and campus building projects, including the UW-Madison Engineering Building. There's much more in the deal beside that, though.
Right. We could talk a long time about this, I think, Rich.
So
Saturday comes along, and by one vote, the Board of Regents says, nope, not backing this deal. What was the argument for the Regents who voted this down?
Well, several of the Regents who come from diverse backgrounds talked about facing discrimination in their own lives, and they said that DEI is a commitment that the university is making to try to make campuses more open and welcoming to students from various racial and ethnic backgrounds. And so they said that, you know, and there also was warnings from board members about if we agree to this compromise or this deal now, what's to stop this from happening again regarding future concessions. So that was the argument. And I'll just say, I've covered higher education for a while, and I've just never seen a resolution put before the board that wasn't approved. Usually they're approved unanimously. Like the votes are worked out ahead of time, I would think.
We're talking to WPR reporter Rich Kramer about the UW Board of Regents vote on Saturday to reject that funding deal with the state legislature we were talking about and where it goes next. Another vote may be on the way. Hey, this is in the courts too. This is Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're following this, if this affects you as an employee, as a student, if you're watching this with strong opinions about how it comes out, or if you have questions, there's a lot. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with WPR reporter Rich Kramer. We're talking about a proposed deal between the UW system and the state legislature that would have the universities cut and restructure diversity, equity, and inclusion positions, among other things, in exchange for funding for a couple different things. The Board of Regents voted to reject that deal on Saturday. Another vote is scheduled for potentially not long from now. You can join in with your thoughts on this, your questions at 800-642-1234. Rich, last I saw anyway, the Regents are maybe going to reconvene in not too long. Oh. I assume you're following that. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a certainty. They're going to reconvene at 5 o'clock. They're going to take another swipe at this deal. The one thing that has changed was Board Vice President Amy Bogost, who is an appointee to the board from Democratic Governor Tony Evers. She originally voted against this compromise deal from Voss on Saturday, but in the meeting materials outlining the agenda for tonight, she is now recommending the adoption of this resolution, aka the Voss deal. So that is one flip. And the other wild card is State Superintendent of Public Schools, Jill Underle, who is on the board as what they call an ex officio position, meaning she wasn't appointed. That's just, you know, she sits on the board. She said that she cannot make the meeting tonight. She is in Europe and has spotty internet connections. So it's a virtual meeting, but Dr. Underle says that she cannot attend. So if no other votes change, then it could pass by one vote. I mean, it could come down to Regent Bogost. So there's a lot of pins and needles going on right now.
And then there's the courts, Governor Evers suing, as I understand it, Rich, the legislature, saying they've exceeded their authority in not approving funding that had already been through the legislative process. Where is that now in the courts?
So it's before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Attorney General Josh Call, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, and Governor Tony Evers have filed what's called an original, or they're asking the Supreme Court for an original action. They want to bypass all the lower courts and have essentially the new liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court take it up. And the lawsuit, the gist of it is, Call and Evers are arguing that these raises were already approved through the legislative process. And again, this is about other things too, like land stewardship funds and et cetera. But things that were approved in the state budget are now being blocked by these legislative committees, individuals on these committees, essentially. And they say that that is a violation of the Wisconsin Constitution's separation of powers. The court hasn't decided whether or not it's going to hear the case. Briefs have been filed. That's the argument from Evers. And then lawmakers, legislators are essentially saying there's past court precedent and the statutes are clear that this is allowed, you know, under the law. So if they take that up, there's a potential that the Supreme Court could strike down a lot of these, you know, legislative practices that are kind of allowing individual Republicans to block these things. So that's a big wild card, but no action as of this week. I check that. I check the court briefs every single day.
We're going to call her. John is with us in Arcadia. John, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, John?
Well, like you've been saying, it's already been approved by the legislature. They had their chance to say no when it was in front of them, and they didn't. So now they want to pretend that it's a pinball machine or a video game where they get to push reset, and that's not the way our government works.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Rich, that's what some of the argument against this action from Speaker Voss ties into some of what you were just saying about the legal challenge there. It could have been tackled in the budget process.
Yeah, and one of the other things that's interesting about this deal, I talked about the automatic admissions, and that was a standalone Republican bill. It's essentially the same as a standalone Republican bill that hasn't passed the full assembly, or the full legislature, I should say. So that would be another situation where this holdup with regard to Voss and this Committee on Employment Relations and other things might kind of, it's essentially, you know, after the fact negotiating on things in the budget. So that argument has been raised quite a bit. People are saying it's disingenuous, it's divisive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of complaints about the actions from Voss and Republicans. Also a lot of complaints and anger from some faculty and Senate group, student groups on campuses that the regents are even considering this.
Thanks for that call. Yet another wrinkle, Rich. Now, regents, many of them are appointed by the governor. The state Senate confirms many appointments from the governor. They have, under Republican control, been reluctant to officially approve a lot of people. Now we're hearing a what from some Republican Senate leaders about how they might handle these appointees.
Republican Senate Majority Dan Kapinga essentially said, you know, after the Saturday rejection by the Board of Regents, he said, well, that's very interesting. It's good to know where these people stand with upcoming confirmation votes. And, you know, some of the regents had been unconfirmed for 3 years. And in November, the Senate did confirm, I can't remember, I think it's something like 8 of the Evers appointees. There's 4 left that need confirmation. One of those is Board Vice President Amy Bogost. So I don't know if that's playing into her decision, but essentially, yes, this threat has been made that, if I'm to summarize, it's careful because, you know, we can vote you down.
Rich, we'll leave it there. I'll let you get back to watching the legal briefs and get ready to see what comes out of this meeting in about half an hour.
Yeah, half an hour. It feels like 10 hours. Thanks, Rob.
That's Rich Kramer, reporter for WPR. He talked to us about a story he's been following, the UW Board of Regents vote to reject a compromise with state lawmakers to receive funding for cost of living pay raises and other campus projects tied to requested cuts, demanded cuts to diversity, equality, and inclusion programs in the university system. As we heard, another vote could be on the way pretty soon. Reminder that WPR is a service of UW-Madison. Now, Ann Strainchamps joins me for the year-end member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on WPR for in-depth conversations. It's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Rob. We are working on that goal of 10 gifts in this hour, and we've only got about a half hour more to make that goal. Thank you if you have already given.
If not, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the news, talk, and music you value possible.
In the last segment, we heard a typical story on Central Time. You start with something that seems like it might be kind of cut and dried, Regent vote, yes or no, that turns into a much, much bigger, interesting discussion about what people in this state think about the nature of the university and what should a state and citizens' relationship be to the university and institutions of higher education. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on here at Wisconsin Public Radio. That is the reason you tuned in and are listening.
Yeah, we have a word we use a lot on that kind of segment, untangling.
Like
there are many complicated stories, mm-hmm. you may have noticed, in Wisconsin government.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got this amazing team of reporters at WPR who have been following these stories for, in many cases, years, decades in some cases, mm-hmm. and can really give us the context, you know, the precedent, if any, and then unwind all these different moving parts, as in this Regent and Speaker Voss story, and help, I hope, make sense of everything for you. If that's valuable, know that you can support it with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think the thing that I admire so much about and get so much from Wisconsin Public Radio is that it feeds my sense of curiosity. And not only that, inspires more curiosity. And the older I've gotten, the more I've come to think curiosity is just like the number one. You know, you can't be angry if you're curious. You can't be bored if you're curious. So it's a path to follow. Thanks to WPR for doing that, and thanks to you for making your donation during these pledge drives. That's what keeps Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. With this drive, we're hoping you will choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And I think that's a great point, Anne. People who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio come from a lot of different backgrounds, but I think one thing they all share in common, we all share in common, is curiosity. Mm. So if we help feed your curiosity and drive more of it, put a value on it. Make your gift. Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk with a longtime Milwaukee journalist about how racism has affected him on the job and why he decided to start talking about the hate mail he's received for years. First, Ann Strainchamps is with me for the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Your support is vital to all the news, talk, and entertainment on WPR. It is the largest source of funding. Take a few minutes right now to support this essential service that you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And this hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't yet, give now. Help ensure that you and your community have access to WPR's essential service. Join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Rob. Sorry, I know these goals can seem kind of arbitrary, but you know they really have been set up to help mm-hmm. us keep on track to pay the bills and meet the needs of Wisconsin Public Radio for the coming quarter, half year, even year. So every minute counts. We're hoping we can count on you right now to step forward and help fund the service that you listen to, the service you rely on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, this has probably happened to you. You find yourself kind of hovering near the radio, drawn into that great conversation. You need to get somewhere. That discussion is just too interesting to stop listening to. You appreciate maybe the guest's knowledge and perspective, the caller's questions and views. Because that's happened to you, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, how many driveway moments have you had this year? Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listing. And, you know, if you just pause and think about it, you know, what do you get for a dollar a day? That's not even a full cup of coffee. I don't know, third of a cup of coffee, half a soda, half a day of cell phone service. Surely Wisconsin Public Radio is worth that much to you.
Yeah, that dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This season, your gift to WPR can also provide meals to families in your community. Give $10 or $20 a month to support your favorite WPR programs and ask for one of the Food Bank thank you gifts. When you do, your gift will have twice the impact for WPR programs and families facing hunger in your area. Give now. Here's how.
Make that gift. Take advantage of that very special food bank offer at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Ann Strainchamps. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the news, talk, and music you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
Plus, giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. It takes, honestly, like just a couple of minutes of your time and then a gift of any amount, you know, say $10 a month.
That donation is going to come back to you each and every day in the form of engaging programs. Show your support at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
This is the time of year when a lot of us like to look back over the course of the year and think about the good things, the less good things, but really mostly the things that we are grateful for. There are so many important and interesting issues and ideas covered on Wisconsin Public Radio every day. You rely on those discussions, and that is why making a gift as a gift of gratitude during our year-end membership drive is so important.
Help us put a strong finish to 2023 so we can continue to talk about the important issues in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We've got that goal of 10 gifts. Thank you so much if you have already given. If you haven't, why not join in right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Remember that you make Wisconsin Public Radio possible by giving.
Today, you can also choose the food bank gift when you give $10 a month or more. You'll provide meals for people in need in your area. Make a donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. And how about considering increasing your support of WPR? If it's been a while, you might consider upping it by $5 or $10 a month, but whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heidi in Milwaukee says, WPR is part of my day every day. If you're listening and haven't donated, why not make today the day you make a contribution for the first time? Heidi says, I promise you won't regret making a contribution. Heidi, thank you so much for giving. Thanks for encouraging others to give. Well, take up Heidi's challenge. Support the radio you count on right now, the streaming service you count on right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest is a longtime journalist and columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's Black. And that's gotten attention from some of his readers, often very negative attention. In a new piece, he writes about the impact of years and years of racist hate mail and voicemail and email, and why he thinks it's time to share those messages publicly after years of mostly keeping quiet about it. James Causey is a columnist and projects reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His latest article is headlined, I'm Worn from Years of Racial Slurs, But I'll No Longer Be Silent About Bigotry. James, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've got a little reading from your piece that I think would be a great way to start things off. Can you share that with us?
Sure. I start out by saying I've long kept the scales of racist hatred I've received to myself, often not telling my editors about it, but I've come to realize how corrosive that is. Picture an old weathered house. Picture an old home weathered by decades of rain, snow, hail, and other harsh elements. You don't notice the changes month to month or even year to year. But when you look at an old photo, you realize how worn it has become. Actually, that's what I've become. I've become worn by the years of hate mail that I've received.
And you talk about a turning point. You'd been a reporter before. When you became a columnist, that's when you noticed this really pick up. Can you talk about some of the responses that you got that started wearing on you?
Yeah, you know, I actually received my first racist email early on. Actually, it was a letter early on in my career. It's like in 2008, after I had come back from Harvard University on a Nieman Fellowship, and I was on an editorial board, and my editor at the time decided to give me the opportunity to write columns. And one of the first columns I wrote, a couple of days go by and I get a letter in the mail and it's calling me all kinds of N-words. And it was the first time I ever received anything like that. So I was shocked, and to the point where I didn't really know what to do. So I just put the letter in my in a drawer at work. But I would come back and keep reading it. And I just didn't understand where that hate came from. But then other letters soon followed. And then after a while, it was dozens and dozens and dozens of letters. So I created this wall of hate to sort of symbolize the hate that people had, not just towards me, but towards people of color in my city.
And to be really clear here, people might hear that you received racist hate mail and they might think, oh, you know, maybe racially charged or subtly coded racist language. No, this is like, I mean, flat out, I don't think anybody would dispute looking at some of the examples you share. This is like just flat out racist hate mail. Could you talk about some of the things you've seen?
Yeah, I've been called every name that you could think of, from the N-word to coon to monkey to people saying I should be hung from a tree. And I know earlier you said it was just emails, letters, and phone calls, but I also received text messages, and even people sent letters to my home, to my wife, quite a bit. So it's just been nonstop. And, you know, one thing that I can say, though, is that the letters that I received and the emails that I received since this column has run have been mostly positive. But it's the pain is still there. You know, after you've been weathered, you know, the weathering doesn't go away. It stays with you for a long time. And I've seen other colleagues of mine who have gone through the same thing, like the former columnist Eugene Kane, who passed away, and even Greg Stanford. More so Eugene Kane, who received a lot of it, just tons of it, because he would tackle racist and racism head on. So he faced the people who fought against that.
And you tackle racism head on in some of your pieces, but it doesn't seem to matter if that's what you're talking about or not. There's one article you talk about a father-daughter dance where somebody went through and replaced references to Black people with the N-word and like sent that edited version to you.
Yes. I talked about taking, not being able to take my daughter to the daddy-daughter dance, something that we participated in for years and years. It's just a great event where fathers get to spend a whole day with their daughter and dance the night away with them. And it's just such a positive event. I was promoting the event saying that, you know, my daughter aged out, so I couldn't take her. And I was feeling kind of sad about it, but I still wanted people to go. And somebody took the liberty to take my column and cross out every reference that I made towards people of color, Black people, and put the N-word. And but I've received so many things, man. I could write a book on it. And it just shows the hatred that exists, but not just towards me. It's the hatred toward people of color. And that's the point I really want to bring across, because I could handle some of it, but when you're attacking just people just based on their color, that's just, it's so irritating and so frustrating that it bothers you. And, you know, I try to rise above it. Don't get me wrong. I've even offered to take people out to eat and have coffee with them just to discuss some of the issues that occur in the Central City, but only to be turned down or to be criticized or saying that you're just setting me up and that kind of stuff. So some people really don't want to have real discussions about race and racism in this country.
Talking to James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about his recent piece on years of hate mail in various forms. He's received racist hate mail and why he's starting to talk about it now. And that's a big point there, James. You and many of your journalistic colleagues you've talked to about this, the thing you do over the years has been you don't talk about it. You don't share this in the public. What led you to say, no more, I am going to share what I'm getting with the rest of the world?
Well, yeah. So I think we've all heard what happened to Taylor Lumpkin, a former Channel 4 broadcast reporter. She was at Country Thunder, a country music event, and a white man came up to her and called her the N-word in front of all these people. She's an African-American woman, and she took to Twitter to talk about it, and she received over 1.3 million people in, coming out to support her and basically saying, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And so my some of my colleagues at work were making a big deal out of this, and I was like, that's nothing compared to what I received, and I proceeded to write a column about it. And my editors were like, whoa, we didn't know that this was going on. And so we took a step back, and they really wanted me to take the time to really explain what I had experienced. And some of the people who read it had no idea. So I just wanted to put it out there. But what I after I wrote it, it was so many journalists of color who reached out to me that said, this happened to me too. And I got just the same kind of stories that happened to you happened to me. And this shouldn't happen just doing your job. No other profession, you go to work and you open your mail and you call it N-word. No other profession should you be taking phone calls and emails and texts where people calling you out your name, sending you letters to your home, threatening you.
And James,
go ahead.
Oh, we lost you for a moment there, but I wanted to ask, you've coped with these issues in various ways over the years. For a while, you had a wall of hate set up in your office. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so my wall of hate I created as a way to sort of fight back against this hatred. So what I would do is collect all the letters, and it was mainly to make the wall of hate. You had to call me the N-word at least once or twice. You had to criticize people in the African-American community. And when you did, I just put it up on my wall. And I what started out just being like a few dozen soon turned into several hundreds. And so when people would come into my cubicle and they would say, what's that? I would just tell them, just read for yourself, and you would see it. And they were all in shock. So it was just my way of, it's sort of like a silent protest against hate. But I think it was, in a way, it was just my way of just kind of dealing with it. Because it was sort of those things, like, as a Black journalist, you just say this comes with the job, but it shouldn't come with the job. Nobody should have to deal with that.
You started off talking about the wear, like the old house worn for years. Does it feel any different now that you are sharing this publicly, now that you wrote about what you've been seeing for years, really for the first time?
Honestly, I think the only thing that feels different is that it's out there, but I don't think anything's going to change. You can't, if it was simple enough to end racism through a column, it would have ended a long time ago. I just think some people will, it won't change their racist ways. They probably just won't send me the information anymore, but I don't think anything else would change.
What advice would you give to a young Black journalist listening, and maybe listening with some trepidation, hearing what you've gone through?
Don't be silent. Don't do what I did. What I did was I remained silent because I was taught that this kind of comes along with the job. That's kind of how I learned it from old veteran African-American journalists, especially columnists, that this is just kind of what you have to deal with. But today's journalists, they're different. They don't deal with that kind of stuff. And we have an issue. We don't have enough journalists of color in our newsrooms and in the media anyway. And if we really want to make impact and we want them to stay, we have to find ways to make sure that they're comfortable and that they could do their jobs without facing racism. If we don't do that, we're gonna lose many more journalists of color, and it's gonna hurt not just us. It's gonna hurt everyone, because a lot of stories won't get told.
Now, a common theme, James, in the letters you write about is a white person, presumably, asking you to fix the Black community in some way, as though somehow you are responsible for all the Black people in the greater Milwaukee area. I want to flip things around. Talk to maybe white people listening who would never write that letter, but maybe they know somebody who would. What would you want that person to do to take what you're saying seriously and maybe try to make a difference?
I think if you know someone who's doing something like this, it's your responsibility to stand up and talk to them. I mean, I can't do it by myself. And no Black person could end racism by themselves. It's going to take a worldwide effort. And it starts with just individuals, just talking to people and and I've always encouraged people to get to know someone who doesn't look like you. Go out to eat with people who don't look like you. Spend time with people who don't look like you. If your circle just looks like everybody that's white or everybody's Black, you need to change that circle of friends and include people else, bring in other people, because that's the only way that we can see that we have a lot more in common than we realize. So you just have to speak up. And if you don't speak up, it's you're part of the problem.
James, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's James Causey, columnist and projects reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to us about his recent article. You can find it under the headline, "I'm Worn from Years of Racial Slurs, but I'll No Longer Be Silent About Bigotry." We'll get a link up to that at WPR.org/Central Time. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Ann Strain Champs is with me in the studio. With 2024 around the corner, take action now. Give the public media service you rely on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ann, hi.
Hey, Rob. Can I just pause for a second and thank you for that last segment, and thank your guest. Wow. That was a really powerful, really... That was a horrible thing to have to listen to. It's enraging. I think an awful lot of listeners are feeling, as I do, just kind of floored. And for those of us who are white, feeling pretty sick. So thank you for that kind of that witness. And for those of you listening, if stories like this, if that particular segment had you stopping in your tracks, that seems like a really good reason to fund Wisconsin Public Radio, a really good reason to call in and say, hey, I'm giving because of that segment that I just heard. Do more of that. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Those are the numbers you need, the web address you need to make your contribution.
You can make a difference with your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can keep hearing important conversations like that one and so many more. Another special way you can make a difference today when you give, ask for the Food Bank Thank You Gift when you give $10 a month or more. You can do that with your donation, WPR, Power Essential News, Quality Entertainment, and then your thank you gift is going to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can do that, become a sustainer at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 during this year-end member drive. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Ann Strainchamps. WPR's essential service is available to you and everybody thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, does make a difference for our entire community.
The news never stops, and you rely on the high-quality coverage you get here on Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio to stay informed. That's why your gift during this year-end membership drive really matters.
Support your source for news and conversation and inspiration and analysis as we head into a new year. Make your year-end gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The world is constantly changing. You know, every time you wake up in the morning, you look at your phone or turn on the news, something has happened. It can be hard to keep up, and it can be hard to make sense of all the change. As a listener, you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio for the daily news and information and also for help in making sense of it all.
And WPR members make that all possible. They make that access to information and to explanation and clarity possible right now. Today, you can invest in the programs that you rely on. Your contribution of $10 or $20 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. And remember, today, give $10 a month or more. Ask for that very special food bank thank you gift. Your gift makes a difference in a lot of ways. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.